Ukraine's President Zelensky was in Turkey for direct face-to-face talks with a Russian delegation yesterday, but the Russian president was a no-show, even though he had previously called for talks. And President Trump says, anyway, there won't be any peace deal until he and President Putin meet face-to-face. So where does this leave Ukraine heading into a fourth summer of war since the full-scale Russian invasion began? Dr. Jenny Mathers, Senior Lecturer in International Politics at Aberystwyth University. Have these Turkey talks, Dr. Mathers, turned into much ado about nothing?
Well, yes. I mean, in many respects, the purpose of the talks is to keep Donald Trump happy. And so this is why Vladimir Putin proposed them, because he didn't want to take up the 30-day ceasefire, which had been urged upon him by Trump and others. And yet he wanted to show Trump that he was making a step towards peace. And of course, Zelensky is really needs to accept any gesture that Putin offers, again, to show Trump that, you know, Zelensky and Ukraine are willing to do what they can for peace, to try and keep Trump on their side as much as he can. So all of this is really being done for an audience of one person in the Oval Office.
And that one person saying on his Middle East tour, when he was asked about the non-talks, we should say, that there won't be a deal on Ukraine anyway until he meets President Putin face to face. What does that mean for Ukraine?
Well, it's not good news, to be honest, for Ukraine, because, you know, Trump has a long history of demonstrating a lot of sympathy for Russian positions, not only on the war in Ukraine, but other things as well, and for being very enamored of Putin as a strong leader. And so every time Trump has dealings with Putin, or Trump's officials have dealings with Putin, they seem to come back with a bit of a rosy-eyed view of the world, looking at it through Russia's sort of rose-tinted spectacles. So, you know, Trump and Putin sitting down face-to-face without a mediating leader of similar stature in the room probably will mean that Trump will come away spouting more and more Russian sort of lines and rhetoric.
And what about Europe's leaders, the coalition of the willing, as they have been calling themselves? What influence, if any, are they able to play here?
Well, they have said that next week they are willing to adopt new sanctions against Russia because Russia has not, you know, gone along with this 30-day ceasefire that they've called for, and it isn't really making any substantial or any steps towards peace at all. Mm-hmm. So the question really is, can the coalition of the willing you know, unite sufficiently and do enough to put pressure on Russia that Russia feels the need to respond? And here, the question is also, what happens about Donald Trump? So the reason why the coalition of the willing suddenly seemed to get a new lease of life was because they managed to get Trump's agreement, at least in principle, to support the idea of putting more pressure on Russia. Now, if that disappears, then, you know, the coalition of the willing are back to their own devices, and we'll have to see how much effort and resources they are willing to put in.
And so the likelihood, instead of any peace talks making much progress, is that Ukraine faces, what, another summer offensive from Russia?
Yes. So, I mean, Russia is clearly not interested in serious peace talks or a ceasefire or an end to the war anytime soon, because Russia thinks that it can continue to take territory from Ukraine. And that is its primary short-term interest. So, yeah, Ukraine faces a lot of pressure from Russia on the battlefield. It faces a lot of difficulties diplomatically trying to keep the Americans enough on side that, you know, American military aid continues to reach Ukraine, trying to keep Europeans and the coalition of the willing going. So it's a really tough situation that Zelensky and the Ukrainians are in now.
And facing that military challenge this summer, how can they do that without the US backstop and supplies? How critical will that be to Ukraine's ability to fight this summer?
Well, here again, a lot depends upon other actors. So whereas back in 2022, when the mass invasion first happened, Ukraine was very heavily dependent upon U.S. military aid. And since that time, Ukrainian defense industry has really developed, particularly the lower key development of drones. And so, you know, drone production is now a leading sort of industry in Ukraine, and Ukraine is really leading the world in innovation in this area. Also, of course, military aid from other countries, particularly European countries, has really stepped up. Oh. So, you know, it is not as dire as it would have been a few years ago. But nevertheless, U.S. military aid continues to be important, and Ukraine will have a harder time if it gets cut off.
Dr. Jenny Mathers, Senior Lecturer in International Politics at Aberystwyth University, thank you. And we'll be hearing about the sunshine after the break.